Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Think of it, folks. If the world hates you because of your beliefs, that should be worn as a badge of honor, not something that makes you change. We should be more like Jesus in that aspect, because he has never changed his rules or to appease or please anyone. His rules are the same now as they were in the beginning. And if the world hates you because you believe his beliefs and believe in Jesus, then you should wear that as a badge of honor, because you are being hated because you didn't reform or didn't conform. I will not conform. I would rather please God than the world any day. But now the liberals are being made to live by their own rules that they force on the rest of us, with what is going on with Abbott and DeSantis, and they're all freaking out. The third paragraph of the Declaration of Independence is something that we should all be heeding right now, because it gives us a way out of our tyrannical government. Join us for another great show. One of the things that we always hear from the Democrats is that a whistleblower has implicated some Republican or Trump or something else conservative, and we get nothing but weeks and weeks, if not months or years, of crap that comes out after the so-called whistleblower has been proven to have lied. But let's just switch this around a bit. And you will hear that name of a whistleblower is also used with Republicans on what is happening. But the difference on this is this. You will never hear about it from the lamestream lying liberal media, because it does not fit their agenda. You will hear of it on Fox sometimes, because they're kind of heading towards the dark side. Breitbart, Newsmax, One America News, but from CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, and ABC, you won't hear a peep. Crickets maybe, but never a report on these things. But they are there. From the Ingram angle, Laura talked to Jim Jordan about this in an audio that we have, and I will play it shortly. Now, if it wasn't for the media that will tell everyone what is going on, no one would have heard this one, unless it was actually about a Republican doing something wrong. Then we'd have heard it all about it. This is one of the things that keeps Democrats in charge. The fact that the media that most people watch and listen to never reports on these things. And if they do, they treat it as a mistake and never mention it again after it airs. Unless, of course, it is something that condemns a Republican or Trump, then it will be aired for months. One of the things that I'd mentioned at the beginning of the show just a few minutes ago was the fact that, let's see if I can find where I was here. It was a listing of the Declaration of Independence. In the third paragraph, it talks about what the American people should do when it comes to a tyrannical government. And it gives you, in that third paragraph, it gives you the way to get rid of a tyrannical government and what we have in our power to do. No one seems to even think about these things anymore, let alone prosecute the people who are breaking laws. But welcome to today's show. And today we will talk of the double standards in American government and the media too. Welcome on this, the 16th day of September in the year of our Lord 2022.
What we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans
apparently have no option to.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. The call-in number is 646-478-5284 if you want to call in. From the Truth Press, we will continue what we started. Whistleblower says FBI labeled veteran-led organization as domestic terrorist group. Yes, the FBI is doing things like this, folks, and we need to stop them. A whistleblower revealed the FBI labeled a veteran-led organization as a domestic terrorist group. Ranking member on the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, in a letter to FBI Director Ray, said a whistleblower came forward and revealed a woke analyst labeled American Contingency, a veteran-led group, a domestic violence extremism organization. The veteran-led group was already cleared by the FBI as a non-threat in 2020, but the woke analysts decided to target the group again. Representative Jordan's letters referenced Project Veritas's recent report on the FBI's Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide on Militia and Violent Extremists. According to the document leaked to Project Veritas, there is a partial list of domestic terrorism symbols. One, leaked document is labeled as unclassified, law enforcement sensitive, that is for FBI internal use only. That's one. Two, under the symbols category of the document, 2A is listed with the following explanation. MVEs justify their existence with the Second Amendment due to the mention of a well-regulated militia as well as a right to bear arms. That is one of their, one of the FBI's list of terrorism symbols. Another one, Revolutionary War imagery such as the Gadsden flag and the Betsy Ross flag are cited in the document under commonly referenced historical imagery or quotes. The next one, it says whistleblower information suggests that the FBI opened an investigation into an American citizen and deemed him a potential threat, simply because he exercised his First Amendment right to speak out in protest of the government. And Jordan wrote this of the American contingency founder, Mike Glover. Even after the FBI determined in 2020 that the American contingency was not a threat, the FBI still labeled the group as a violent extremist group in an official FBI alert, the Ohio Republican wrote. Representative Jordan asked Ray to provide all documents and communications referring at or relating to the FBI's Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide on Militia Violent Extremism and full explanation of why the FBI didn't include the symbols, images, or individuals about left-wing violent extremist groups in the Bureau's guide by September 28th. Mike Glover is a veteran doing good work out there, but some woke analyst in the FBI says, we're going to investigate this guy, Jordan told Fox News host Laura Ingraham Wednesday night. And there's more from Representative Jim Jordan on this development.
According to new whistleblower information that you received, the FBI is labeling groups as domestic terrorists even after they're deemed not to be a threat, like the company founded by that vet, Mike Glover.
Yeah.
So the FBI, reportedly did this because Glover appears to be rallying individuals to take action and speaks about his distaste for how the government is handling current situations. So the FBI rifled through his life before concluding that the group desires to assist Americans in preparing themselves for catastrophic events and not to overthrow the government.
Right.
Congressman, criminalizing.
Glover. Yeah, a veteran. Mike Glover, a veteran, doing good work out there, but some woke analyst at the FBI says, we're going to investigate this guy because I guess you can investigate it now by this FBI if you display the flag, you own a gun, and you voted for Trump. Somehow you're now that in that category that Joe Biden said is extremist or fascist, and they're going to investigate. But they investigate him a second time and says, nothing here. But this is what's happening at the FBI. They're being pressured to label and categorize every single case. And we've had now over 14 whistleblowers come to us, label every single case a domestic violence, violent extremism case, when they're not. There's the cases that are just bad guys that the FBI is doing, you know, social investigation.
Well, but this is what the CCP does, Congressman.
Yes.
See, and this is what's going on with the FBI right now. They have completely changed their way of doing things. They're not doing things by law anymore. They're just going after people that they deem or the left deems extremists. And that goes all the way into people who go to school board meetings who are parents of children who are getting disgruntled and mad about what schools are teaching their children. These people, the parents, have been labeled as domestic terrorists. And this is wrong in so many ways, folks. We have to stop and think about what this government is doing right now. They're thinking that anyone who has the brains enough to think for themselves and not have to deal with the government in day-to-day lives, they're a problem for this government. And this government does not like them. The things that are going on in America today make America seem more like Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia, not America, because the government is not treating us like a constitutional republic. They are treating us like the socialist end of a democracy, and their end program on this whole thing is to make sure that we become socialists, get rid of the democracy, get rid of the Constitution, get rid of the Bill of Rights, get rid of the Declaration of Independence, they're no good, according to the left. And according to the left, the people are not smart enough to take care of themselves. In California right now, we have a governor who is in the process of trying to place kidnapping charges on Abbott and DeSantis for what they're doing with the migrants who they're shipping to places that are so-called sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. The problem with this whole thing is that these people are going willingly. They are being asked. They're not being forced. They're not being herded into cattle cars and then headed off to someplace else just to get them out of the way. This isn't what's happening. They're actually being asked, do you want to go to New York City? Do you want to go to Chicago? Do you want to go to Martha's Vineyard? Do you want to go to in front of Kamala Harris's house? And they all say yes. They all say yes. And then they are made to sign a form that states, yes, we are going of our own free will, and this is what we're doing because we want to do this. And this is really getting insane, folks, because the left is telling us things, stupid things like, oh, the border is secure. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. So one of the things that we keep hearing from the Democrats is the Republicans and Trump are the ones causing the violence that is going on around the United States today. But as I have always said, if the Democrats accuse us of things, those are the very things that they themselves are actively doing. Starting with the border, their lies continue. From Western Journal comes this one. In live interview outside of Harris's home, illegal immigrant turns her border claim upside down. Vice President Kamala Harris has outright denied the border crisis. She's supposed to be the border czar. She's supposed to be taking care of all of this. She's supposed to have gone down there and figured out what was wrong and fix it. She hasn't gone. She's gone to Europe, but she hasn't gone down to the border. And don't let the left lie to you because she hasn't been there. She was about 50 miles away in an area that was completely safe for her. Hello, Joseph. Good to see you there. She has not been there. Vice President Kamala Harris has outright denied the border crisis. Perhaps she won't be able to keep up the lie now that the problem has come to her front gate. The border czar, apparently in name only, told Chuck Todd on NBC's Meet the Press Sunday that there is a secure border, despite the fact that nearly 2 million illegal immigrants have poured into the nation in the fiscal year ending of September 30th. And this is what she said. Well, that's the wrong one. Sorry about that. This is what she said.
We have 2 million people cross this border for the first time ever. You're confident this border is secure?
We have a secure border in that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration. But there are still a lot of problems that we are trying to fix, given the deterioration that happened over the last 4 years. We also have to put in place a law and a plan for a pathway for citizenship.
While she so easily ignored those staggering numbers in the abstract, Governor Greg Abbott made sure the problem will stare her in the face, perhaps quite literally. And like most Democrats do, they blame who came before. the Texas Republicans sent over 100 migrants from Eagle Pass, Texas, to the area near Harris's Naval Observatory residence in Washington, D.C., and Fox News reported this one. Many of the migrants are from Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, and Uruguay. According to one man who appeared to be among them, they have come because they know the border is not secure. "It's open, not closed," the unnamed man told Fox News national correspondent Griff Jenkins on Thursday. "Everybody believes that the border is open," he continued, and then when pressed, "it's open because we enter, we come in free, no problem," the man said. Jenkins confirmed that he and others had come illegally. "Yeah, we came illegally, not legal," he said. And this is what he said.
And Vice President Harris said that the border is closed. Is the border closed? Do you believe that the border is closed or is it open?
It's open, not closed. The border is open.
The border is open. Do you believe that all the migrants believe that the border is open?
Yeah, everybody believes that the border is open. It's open because we enter. We come in free. No problem.
But it's open for you to come illegally, right?
Illegally, yes, illegally. That's true.
And you came illegally.
Yeah, we came illegally, not legal.
Okay, I've got a phone call, so I will get to that. Let's see if I can get it over here, the 336 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Yes, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
All right, good. Well, I just wanted to call in because I was listening, and just, you know, is that really what we really have to start doing is, you know, with the alternative media that, like, for instance, like this podcast that, you know, Conservative Nation Radio and others out there is, and the other patriot people out there, we've got to start coming together. We have to stop doing our individual thing. We have to start networking together and really growing together and forming a voice that's going to unite, that's going to make a difference. Because right now, with everybody doing their own individual thing, even if we're reporting facts or what we believe to be facts, we're still so divided. And the country's divided, and we're not going to make these liberals see it our way. Where the Biden administration, they're not going to secure the border. They're not going to fix the border until we, the people, stand up and say enough. And that's why the militia community out there has to get together, the conservatives have to get together, and everybody has to get together and network together to form some sort of alliance, because voting our way out of this isn't really going to work either. We saw that already. And they're out of control. This corporation is out of control. And I believe that, you know, right now with what I see, what's going on, what I'm involved with on the internet and talking to other people and groups and the people that I'm involved with, and, you know, without the militia community coming together and organizing, then I don't think that we can, and I'm talking doing this peacefully, of course, and mm-hmm. lawfully, and coming together, I don't think that we can, we're done. Our republic is finished.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the things I was going to bring up later on the show, but we have to get together. We have to stop quarreling about everything. We have to start figuring out that laws are meant to be followed, and if they're not followed, there are consequences. And right now, consequences are not even being attached to any of it.
That's correct. That's correct. And I believe that, you know, it's just that I don't think a lot of people know how to network together. And I think this is that we all have to put the work and effort in together to make contact with each other and mm-hmm. in or to come together. You know, and we don't have a lawful government right now. This Washington, D.C. corporation, obviously, clearly an illegal, controlled entity that is destroying our liberties little by little. I mean, it's been hijacked by, I don't know what you can call it, anything you want. I'm not going to, you know, play the race card. I'm not going to blame it on the Jews. I'm not going to blame it on, I'm going to blame it on evil. And there's evil out there. And the goodness mm-hmm. of people have to stand together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because, and, you know, we have to stand up for what's right. We have to stand up for what's right and start putting the evil down instead of starting to flow with the evil. And that's what's going on right now.
Exactly. I don't think voting our way out of it is going to work. I think that a grassroots organization and groups are going to have to shield off the tyranny and tyrants either by, and I believe the militia community is the backbone of the militia. That's just how this country was formed. Our republic began, the militia. The 3%, you know, we all heard about that, you know, so we have got to do this. We have to restore a lawful de jure government. And yeah. I believe that right now with what some of the groups out there that right now, like, for instance, RighteousArmy.org, what Mike Singer's doing, and then we have with Mr. Geiger and Governor Carpenter with the Free State of Colorado. I mean, these are people with their ideas and their lawful ways of trying to put this together and network together is the only way. Because, look, we're all doing our own thing. This is my way, this way. Look, we got – there's only going to be one way that we're going to be able to fix this because we're all not going to get it our way. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, put our differences aside and swallow our pride and just put our egos aside for a little while and say, okay, we'll get what we want in the end. At least we'll have a seat at the table this time, you know? But we have to unite.
Well, that's where our government is going completely wrong right now is they'll, like the Republicans will say, well, we got to get this, but since the Democrats won't do this, we'll compromise and give them a little bit and then we'll take what we can, and the way that they always do it, Democrats get what they want, or the liberals get what they want, and then the people who really want something good for America never get it because the Democrats or the rhino Republicans will keep it from happening.
Yeah. Well, we don't forget, we have a money system, the Federal Reserve. I mean, I don't know how we can alter or abolish that without really crashing the economy. You know, and reinstituting some sort of reserve, or I mean, you know, that we're starting to get into very serious, technical issues where to run this government. And we have a very large population of people now than what we had in 1776. It's unmanageable unless we have very large groups that are educated and know what they're doing and are willing to fight and die for what they believe in, like the founders did.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and most of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence lost everything when they did that. So most people nowadays are not willing to do that.
No, they're not. No, they're not willing to give up their couch or their Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon football, let alone sacrifice their farms, families, fortunes, and lives to each other like the founders did. You know.
Yeah.
But there is a group out there. There are groups out there. There are well-meaning patriot groups out there that are trying their best. And I've been a part of that and a part of those groups. And I really, really believe that, you know, this is the time is now. There is no more tomorrow. We can't wait any longer.
No, we really can't.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, we really can't because we're...
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea that... One of the things that always really gets to me is that we have even people who should know better are calling us a democracy, and we are not. We never have been.
No, we're not
but
a democracy.
Everybody calls us a democracy, and we're not.
No, we're a republic. A republic. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. You know, and the simple fact is this. You know, we can't rely on Donald Trump coming down from the hills to rescue us. That's not going to happen. All right. So let's get to the bottom of this. The bottom line is this. We have a corrupt de facto governmental system in place right now that's out of control. Out of control. We have corrupt institutions all across the country, every county, every city, every municipality. How are we going to reverse this? How are we going to do this? The progressives did it for a very long time by attacking our educational system and our news outlets and controlling our media and especially our youth. And brainwashing our youth through generation after generation to get where they're at right now. We don't have the time to do reverse engineering here. So we're going to have to do some shock treatment, you know, and it's going to have to be shock treatment where we're going to have to look, people that won't wake up, put them off to the side. If they want to come along, fine. If not, kick them down the road, you know. Mm-hmm. We've got to take back our republic. I mean, I just don't know how else to say it or what else to do or how else to try to get people out there motivated where we're going to come together and unite together. And from what, I mean, I was debating with a liberal last night with on this podcast network, and they were supporting abortion. The evil mouth that they had on them, and the lack of consideration and respect. People like that are just going to have to get a boot in the rear end and put on a boat and get the heck out of here when we do restore this republic. We can't allow that sickness to infiltrate any ever again if we are able to restore this republic.
Yeah, and that right now is a real big if, because there's too many people who just will not sit back and use their brains when it comes to what needs to be done. They've got to use their hearts, and they've got to use their their feelings, and that'll never work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just wanted to say that, and, you know, to your listeners, you know, the righteousarmy.org, you know, or you can go to the Republic of the United States .org and start and check out the website. Check out your lawful government that's been out there, that was re-inhabited back in 2010, 2009, and it's up to the people. You know, it's up to the people to want it and to accept it, to take it back and use it. And the militia is there to help. We have to rally. There's a rallying cry right now. I'm just letting you know that.
Yep. Well, I just put righteousarmy.org into this chat room. So,
yeah, good. You know, we've got to, you know, come together. We've got to. Yeah. And it's the only way. It's the only way.
Yep.
And I know good people like yourself that are out there. You're doing this for a reason. You're doing your podcast for a reason. You're out there trying to give people important information. You're trying to give them the facts. Obviously, you care about America. You care about our republic. And like you said, you know it's not a democracy, so you don't want to see it all lost or not. But, you know, how much farther do we have to go down into the ruins here, the rabbit hole?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sure glad you called, because you gave us some good points, and I did put that righteousarmy.org into the chat room. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Okay, God bless you.
I'll continue listening. Just put me back on mute, and thank you. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we got 305 here, area code. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? This is
Mike, doing well.
National Militia Coordinator with RighteousArmy.org.
Aha. Yeah, I was just talking with one of the guys who gave me your address.
Yeah, no, I just came in. I actually went to bed early, and then my son, by the way, everybody, you know, please throw your prayers out. My son had to fly out to California yesterday to fight fires. He's a hotshot firefighter, and they called him out to do a chore out there in Northern California. I guess they've got some fires going on. So,
we'll keep him in our prayers.
Anybody
that's for sure.
I appreciate it, you know, for his safety and all. Always tell him to keep his head up and always think safety first. But yeah, I went to bed and I got up and threw my shirt on backwards because I heard the phone, my dad's phone ring, and it was my son trying to call him. And then I looked at my phone and saw a text from Joseph Gibson, who was just talking to you. And I caught the past few minutes of you guys. And you guys made some profound points.
He's still on the phone if you want me to. He's still on the phone if you want me to add him back in there.
Oh, he's more than welcome. I mean, hey, Joseph, his point, you know, is one that is solidified in my heart that, you know, how much longer are – it blows my mind, actually, when I think about it. How much longer are, you know, people that would be labeled as, you know, conservatives, Christians, patriots, truthers, God-respecting, traditional family values-respecting, going to allow themselves to continue being walked over – and having their nation putrefied from within by the communists who have, in fact, infiltrated and hijacked the government of the United States of America, which is why it is now high time for we, the people, who are the militia, to lawfully, peacefully, openly, and transparently start to organize in mass. There should be as many, if not more, Americans who voted for Donald Trump as there are uniting under the banner of we the people are the militia and organizing accordingly. And on the website, nationalmilitianetwork.com is a domain name that points and forwards to righteousarmy.org, and militiausa.org points and forwards to righteousarmy.org. Obviously, National Militia Network, the domain name kind of says it all. Militia USA says it all. But we must have moral virtue. We must be a righteous army. That's not to say that, you know, we're claiming to be better than thou or perfect, but we favor what is better than us and perfect. We favor what is godly and moral and decent. And you know, we could just go on with that without even being religious. You don't even have to be a religious person to appreciate morality, right? And the natural order of procreation, right? The natural order. God is nature. Nature is God. The grand creator, the grand architect, created things to be a certain way. And we know that the specific group of people who are referenced all throughout the Bible, bad bloodline, have hijacked Christianity. They've hijacked all the religions. They've hijacked governments. And they are godless, and they are communists, and they have a new world order, one world government agenda. That's what all of this is about. It's all about their new world order, one world government agenda. So if we do not stand up and do something about it, united, organized as a force to be reckoned with under the banner of we the people are the militia, a righteous army, then the future is going to be bleak.
Yeah,
but I believe,
hey, Joseph,
we're going to prevail.
Look, yeah, I've got Joseph back on here if he wants to say anything too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And I'll certainly be praying for your son there, Mike. I did not know that.
Yeah, same here.
Praying for
thanks,
his safety.
Thank you.
By all means, safety. Please, I hope the Lord does protect your son, and he's doing something righteous. And that's obvious. That
right.
You know, we have good people here. Obviously, look, his son is out there fighting the fires. These are the people out there, the backbone of America. This is what's out there. The good. There's still good people out there, and we have to unify these people together, and let these evil people in Washington D.C. corporation, district of criminals, I call them, and let them know enough. Enough is enough.
Yep. That's right.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I put up with here. I live in New Mexico, which is one of the border states, but we're not a conservative one. We're run by what we call the Wicked Witch of the North, or Michelle Lujan Grisham up in Santa Fe. And she is one of these people who just absolutely got giddy over the fact that she passed a law late last year where abortion is now legal in New Mexico all the way up to the day of birth.
That's absolutely evil.
Evil.
She's absolutely evil, absolutely. And I've got several advertisements on this show. One of them right now is for a guy named Kerry Morris, who is running for Supreme Court here in New Mexico. Right now, Supreme Court in New Mexico has five people. Four of them were appointed by Michelle Lujan Grisham. So that gives you an idea of what shape this state is in. We're kind of like a mini California.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, our point man at Militia USA, Brian Traub, is out there in New Mexico, and he really stood up to the plate. He's putting forth a maximum effort to do what we're doing, which is a front-end effort. I don't know if you saw the National Militia Directory I sent out, but just so you know, I sent it out, and you can look at it.
To check that out, actually, and I know we talked this morning, actually, as soon as I got home today, all I've been doing is on social media. I'm trying to get people all together across the country. Indiana was another state, but in Ohio, two guys I'm trying to get together to link up with you and other podcast shows like this one and others. Like I opened up here tonight, where the first thing I said was all the alternative media patriots out there, we've got to unite and click together. And this way, I hear that voice when linked together will be a strong front. A righteous front,
that's
like
right.
You just said, that can stand up
that's
against
right.
this tyranny in evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know it was inspired. I know it was inspired in me of the Creator, Lord God Almighty Divine, who I surrendered my life to many years ago. And again, I'm not being religious on people. I'm just saying that I know there's a Creator Divine who I did surrender my life to and I trust in. and it came by way of inspiration. I know it was inspiration. I'm being led by my Heavenly Father to do what I'm doing, because everything I do, it just flows through me. It's inspired. It's not me. Mm-hmm. It's an inspiration. And it truly is about making it clear two primary things. Number one, there are a lot of psychological operations, PSYOPs, that have been going on over the last several decades as these communists have been endeavoring to break down society, break down our nation. They have many fronts that they've been putting out PSYOPs. And one of them is that they have created a concept and an idea deliberately about the militia to make people have an impression that, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. The militia, they're in the backwoods, man, and they're working on it, and they're going to take care of it when it's not the case, just to make people think something's going to be done when it's not, and to give people a negative impression about the militia, like, oh, it's just a bunch of good old boys with guns in the backwoods, and, you know, they're about to commit acts of sedition. I better stay away from that. That's what the PSYOP is on the militia. So we are bringing to the front a new flavor, a new understanding, a new reality, a new brand for what the militia really is, because ultimately the militia is we the people, period, and what it needs to be is a community organizing effort, a people coming together. Every single person should be trading in their red Trump Make America Great Again cap for a Second Amendment I Am Militia t-shirt, whether they get it on our website or they make it on their own. That is our message. That's our banner that we're all organizing under. And when everybody's doing that and they're organizing in their counties with point men and point women in every county, and those point men and point women, whether it's two, three, or four of them, are taking control in that county and they're gathering their local, you know, friends and family and community members, and they're having a monthly meeting on gun safety training. They're working with the sheriffs and the deputies. They're having experts come in. They're inviting the children and the families down to talk about the dangers of gun and how to be safe with them. Every month they're having a meeting on the laws and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Once a year they're having an annual barbecue that they're all going to, and they're all wearing their shirt. They're all united. All of us are united around the country. When I first started this, somebody told me, man, Mike, how are you going to organize all the militias? I said, there's only one militia. We the people are the militia. Now, granted, while there may be different militia groups around the country, they can still have their own unique identity and their own power and their own identity and their own leadership in their community by all means. But we need to all come together as one force, one unit, as we the people who are the militia.
Is there a specific design that you have on a T-shirt for that? Because I make T-shirts too, and I'd kind of like to get us.
Yes. Yeah. If you go to the site, it's pretty simple. I mean, the first one I did, which was also in harmony with this inspiration I had, was simply because of all the PSYOPs over the last several decades. They're trying to get rid of the Second Amendment. They're trying to get rid of the Constitution.
But they've been doing that for years.
Right. I came up with a few just off the top of my head. In fact, Joseph called me today and said he tried to order some shirts and said that the page wouldn't go through. And I called him back because only an hour later, Dan in Florida called me, said, Mike, I'm trying to order a shirt and I'm in the checkout and it won't let me check out. So I called. I do my shirts through Cafe Press until I find a better way. They do very high quality products. It's a little pricey because they are very quality. And openness and transparency. I mean, hey, if I can find a shirt producer where, for me, it's not about the money. Otherwise, I'd be trying to, make $20 a shirt selling them. It's up to me how much I mark the shirt up. And openness and transparency, I tell everybody openly all the time. On Cafe Press, I create them, I make them, I spend the time to go through every single shirt to make sure it's on the front and the back. It will take me a couple of hours just to go through one shirt to get the design on the front and back of every shirt. And I mark everything up by $5. So I get a $5 bill. If somebody's paying $40 for a hoodie and because it's real high quality, nice product and they're paying $40, don't think I'm getting that. I'm getting a $5 bill. So it's kind of like a $5 donation to my efforts, but you're getting a great product. And that's why I stick with them, because it's not about the money. And I think they do. They're made in America, that their business is here in America, and they do high quality. So I just come up with the ideas, the number one being Second Amendment, I Am Militia, and then, of course, a domain name on the bottom. So I do encourage people that if they do make the shirts on their own, to at least put militiausa.org or righteousarmy.org on it to drive people to that site, because the website, by all means, is an inspired site that has all the answers on it. It has the perfect articulation of exactly what has been going on and what is going on and what we need to do about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like right now, I'm in the process. I've had a printing business for years, and I've just kind of branched out into the printing T-shirts, and I have the heat press and everything else for it. But my problem is I'm in the process now of trying to get me one of these sublimation printers because they're a lot better than the transfers.
Right.
And so I'm in the process right now of getting the sublimation printer. But once I get that, then I'm off and going.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, and maybe you know, we could put some ideas together as well. I mean, I'm a kind of a creative thinker, so every once in a while I come up with a new idea. And like I said, it takes me literally, if I come up with the idea, I got to go on my computer, I got to kind of design it, I got to upload it, and then I got to spend the time to go put it on the front and back of every shirt because they only automatically put it on the front. So I got to go through every single product. I got to, plus I change the colors, make sure white's on black and black's on white. And it literally would take me, I said 2 hours, it'll take me sometimes 3 or 4 hours to sit there and go through the whole process because you got to click, go back, go scroll down, start with a new product. It's a process. So sometimes I do dream of having, you know, a printer where it's just easy peasy, you know, just, hey, here it is. You know, here's my design. Print it out. Yeah.
You know, you talk about grassroots organization, organizing. I was talking to a gentleman in Ohio just a little while ago, actually, and he's, you know, trying to be a point man here for the militia, and he's talking to a lot of National Guard guys that are being kicked out because of their refusal of wanting to take that jab. And so they're starting their own little group up. And I said, that's great. It's okay to do that, but you have to link up nationally. We have to link up together. You know, everybody can't just do their own thing and go off on their own tangent or way. We have to be a unified front, a righteous front, righteous army. It's the only way we're going to take back America.
Yeah, that's the only way, because if you do it all separate like we are now, that's just all it's going to be. There's going to be a lot of people who have got the right ideas, but they're just not together, and they're not able to just coalesce that idea into a big movement. So you have to join them all up together.
That's true.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, I had a thought that was pretty profound on that point you guys just made, and it just left me. When it comes back, I'll come back with it.
I can't stand that when that happens. Boy, let me tell you.
Yeah, when that happens to me, I get accused of being old.
Well, the thing that what I'm trying to say is with the National Guard and the jab and whatnot, that a lot of the military people are becoming frustrated, and they don't know where to go or who to turn to. And I believe that leaves the door open to unify with the militia community because, like Mike said, we are the militia anyway. We are not the National Guard. They're not the militia. You know, we, the people, are the militia. And that's so very important.
That's right.
And then the other thing we have to keep our eyes open for is the government right now is actively trying to take that right away from us. And if that happens, then the militia essentially disappears.
Yeah.
Well, as you'll see, and I invite you – I'm sorry, and your name again on the conference call is on the phone with again? I'm with Joseph.
My name's Joseph and Robert.
Robert, okay, I'm sorry. We just kind of jumped into it.
You're actually live on a podcast show right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Robert, what's your last name, Robert?
Robert Garding, G-A-R-D-I-N-G.
Robert Girding, and where are you located?
I'm located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, one of the liberal bastions of this nation.
All right. I guess I can get your phone number from Joseph later, right?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can give you mine.
If you wanted to, my email address is RP. That's my first name and my middle initial. Garding@reagan.com.
Let me text it to my wife. So it's like a text I sent out. And then I'll have it on my phone. So RP.
Garding. That's G-A-R-D-I-N-G.
G-A-R-D-I-N-G. RP
at Reagan. Garding. Yeah. At Reagan.com. That's like Ronald Reagan.
R-E-A-G-A-N.
.com.
.com. All right, RP Garding@reagan.com. All right.
Yep.
Do you, well, yeah, you might want to not throw your phone out about other podcasts, but I will tell you mine. I give it out always. It's 305-910-6206. I get calls from people all the time. Over the last 2 years, I was working on thebigvirushoax.com. I'm the founder of that website, and we had over 1,000 people a day visiting that site throughout 2021.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did everything we could with all the best of the best info with Dr. Andrew Kaufman and Dr. Tom Cowan and Amanda Vollmer in Canada and Tom Barnett down in Australia and Dr. Stefan Lanka and all the different great videos of doctors that were coming out of the woodwork realizing, wait, something's not right here. Not only are the vaccines dangerous, but there's not even a virus to begin with. So, I mean,
well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, the cream of information regarding viruses, what they are and what they're not, the science behind it is on that website. Vaccines, what's in them on that website. The merging of technologies with vaccines and how they're going about it and applying it to social media censorship and the social scoring system like they're doing in China. It's on that site. Just every the rights are, you know, 42 U.S. Code, 18 U.S. Code, the Americans with Disabilities Act, federal civil rights were all the things that we were claiming when, you know, we were not wearing a face diaper or getting a jab. People don't have to. They think they do, but they don't. All government mandates only apply to the government. They do not apply to the public. They don't apply to the people.
Don't.
But they've been lying to people and deceiving them and literally manipulating and controlling people through ignorance because they don't know any better and fear. With their little virus concept, which is nothing more than a concept. That's all it is.
Yep. That's
but anyway, that's what I was
right.
doing for 2 years. Doing that for
well,
2 years.
Here in New Mexico, we were under a mask mandate until about 6 months ago. And the only reason why the Wicked Witch of the North up there decided she was going to get rid of it was because there was only one other state that still had it, and she didn't want to be the last one to get rid of it.
Yeah, and with all
that was her
respect,
only reason.
This applies to, you know, tens of millions of Americans across the country. So I say it with understanding and respect because I was also there. It's just I went, you know, overboard 24/7 to get into it and protect my rights. So I literally developed a system. A science out of exactly what to do and how to go about it. And the simple fact of the matter is there were times when I was wishing I was in some of these other states because I would have made a spectacle of them, not of me, but of their sheriffs and their police officers and their governors and everything else. I will tell you that everything that's published on thebigvirushoax.com, and I'm here in Florida, everything as we published it was flooded to Governor Ron DeSantis via his Facebook, his Twitter, and emails. I mean, constantly, every day, we flooded him with information. And on four separate occasions, he came out in the media discussing specific issues that we flooded him with. So I do take a little bit of pride and encouragement and feeling that we did our part in helping to make Florida free. I joke with people sometimes and say Florida's free because of me.
One of my first militia groups that I came in contact with, actually, that I came in aligned with was the Florida State Militia. My regiment was the 13th, regiment number 13th county or parish of Indian River, you know. So that was one of the first ones there. But I'm in North Carolina now, of course. I still got that card, actually. I read the back of that card on the Zoom call the other night, actually, you know, quoting the statutes and laws. It's got, you know, every single state, you know, it's so very important that, you know, we have to understand that we are the militia, you know. We're not just, country boys out there that, you know, are get spooked or we're out there spooking people and we're practicing in the woods once every couple months and like a bunch of rednecks. No. We're firefighters, police officers, you know, all regular good people, church-going people, Bible-believing people that believe that we should train and we should have training. We should, fight fires and we should build houses that have been burnt down. We should come together. We've gotten so far away from the goodness and the giving heart of what Americans really are because we're in this new world, depth of hell way of thinking, you know, of hate and division. And it's so disgusting how far away we've fallen in America. and you know, and that's this new world order.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's getting
and
to the point now where it's getting to the point now where people are just too afraid to even express their opinions if they go against the big megalopolis of the left and what's going on in this country right now.
Well, they've intimidated and shamed people. If you don't go along with their agenda, then you're a white supremacist, hateful, bigot, intolerant, hateful person. That's what they do. They've literally shamed people and intimidated them and cowwhipped them into submission.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I know what because I do a daily update, kind of like Rush Limbaugh did, a video thing that I do on Mondays through Thursdays, and I put them on Rumble and BitChute, and I used to put it on YouTube until I did one day with a doctor that gave all the reasons why masks were bad for you, and I got totally deleted because of that one. So I'm not on YouTube anymore. But
right. I can relate.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a shame. And that's why it's so important to unite nationally and have the numbers in the righteous army strength of the mass number of people, because with that many people, they can't do that to you, you know? Because right now our voices are minute. They don't care. They think they can slap us around. But little do they know how many good people are still out there, and they are waking up. This movement coming together, and I believe with the RighteousArmy.org, I believe with Mike's and the Republic of the United States.org, and all the other patriot groups out there that are coming together and finally starting to realize we've got to work together. The time is now. There's no more tomorrow. We got to do this and support each other.
Oh, absolutely, because we've completely run out of time.
Yeah.
And my earlier thought that I lost came back to me, and when you were saying that, Joseph, and that is there it went again.
There it went again.
What's going on here? Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, because whenever I have a really profound thing, as you can see, and once I am talking, I kind of get on a ramble, and I try to work on that. You know, everybody needs to talk here, but then all of a sudden I'll get something on my mind, and I'll hold it. When I hold it back, it's like. That's why now you know why I'm always rambling, to get my thoughts out, because if I don't, they disappear.
Well, this podcast we're on now, the Conservative Nation? What's this name of this podcast?
Well, okay, the network is Conservative Nation Media. I own it. It was something that I became part of in 2013, and in 2018, the guy who owned it just decided, well, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore, and he gave it up. Well, I acquired it. And now I'm trying to get shows onto it. Now I've got two that happen every week. Mine, which is NWCR Radio, and then we have one guy who does his show out of Durham, North Carolina, and his name is Vincent Brown, and he does a show called Black by Color Only. And those are the two shows we have now. We've got one that's on Sunday that hasn't aired for a while, and that's American by Design, and that one's another good one. But
I was on Freedomize Radio last night, and I was talking to some members of the black community and black militia, actually, I think I'm getting them on board also, where we've got to come together because we need our, we have our differences, okay? We are different. That's right. We are different. We're different people. We're not all one. We're different. But you know
That's how God made us all
together.
Different.
We've got to come together. We've got to come together. You know, as long as we believe in the freedom and the Constitution and the foundations of this republic and we believe in God, there's no reason why we can't come together and stand up to this evil and stand up against this evil and fight it and fight this tyranny off. Because, listen, they don't care. They're putting us all in the same category, and they're going to wipe us all out.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right. Yeah, his show tomorrow night airs at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. And I know Mike, Mike does the Zoom call on the I believe that's on Saturday night too, right, Mike? Or Sunday?
Well, national militia meetings are Sunday and Wednesday at 6, but a couple people have been telling me, and I'm tending to agree, that we need to start having them every night at this point because things are so dire and we need to build quickly and we need to give everybody a chance every night to come in. So we may start doing them every night. Tomorrow night, I spoke today with Colonel Brian Hunt. For those that don't know, Colonel Brian Hunt was the lead commander in the Bundy standoff with the FBI. He was the militia commander that held that. And tomorrow he's getting all of the commanders in all of the states on a conference so that I can speak with all of them tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on a conference
call. That's awesome.
So I'm really looking – I'm looking forward to that. Because it ties into, again, you know, what this inspired vision I have of, for what I want to do. Which now that did bring up my earlier thought again is the fact that there's two or three ways I could say this. So, and this is profound, so please let me try to get this out. I've told people before that this left-right, I'm not a fan of the left-right paradigm, you know, and we know that they use Republican, Democrat to divide, black-white to divide, all this. We know that. The only true division is a moral division. That is a genuine division. The moral division is a genuine division. So the bottom line is people that would be labeled with such things as leftist, liberal, progressive, godless, communist, yes, they're all on the lower spectrum of, you know, moral turpitude and moral virtue. That's all there is to it. People that are center to right are the ones that are associated with God, the Bible, traditional family values. They have a higher moral virtue. They have a higher moral standing. And, of course, they have all kinds of psyops they throw into the mix to try to make one point to the other and say the other side's the moral, whereas the other's the moral, and back and forth, BS, right? It's all psyop. But the simple fact of the matter is there is that genuine division, and it's very easy for the crooked, evil communists who are in control, those who have the New World Order, One World Government agenda, who have infiltrated not only the government of the United States of America, but other nations around the world, they are very smart, very clever, and it's easy, and they know it's easy for them to control people that are on the left because they are followers. They're people that don't work. They want the government to take care of them. They don't have a lot of responsibility. They don't have no morals. They just want to go out and burn down buildings and light garbage cans on fire. The riffraff of society. That's who they control. Those that are on the left that would be in that category of the immoral riffraff. Okay, so they can control them. They can pay them $25 an hour to go out and do things for them. People that are centered to right, they're hardworking. They're family. They got children. They have businesses. They believe in God. They go to church. They're occupied. So already they're not going to be involved because they're busy with their lives and being responsible. But when things start getting bad and all of a sudden they need to get involved because they're that way, they're all leaders. So once they put their foot in the water, they want to be the leader. They want to lead the cause. So that's understandable, but that's also one of the reasons that we've had a problem is the right is all divided because they're all leaders, and how do you unite all the leaders? That's why, again, for me, it was inspiration to realize, well, wait a minute, the one thing we do all have in common, which I understand that the enemy has created psyops about, I covered it earlier, right, that the militia is just a bunch of good old boys, and given the bad image, not only are we going to create a new image and a new brand that everybody can relate with. It's community services. It's a good, positive thing. But now we're talking about a point man, point woman, or three or four of them in every single county, right? In every single county throughout every single state. That's a lot of room for leaders, right? It's not like I'm the leader, like, oh, yeah, Mike. No, I'm not the leader. They can replace. I created a system where I'm easily replaceable. It's a child that can now build the militia because of the system, which is all about organizing and uniting the people under the banner of we are the militia and we have moral virtue and it's a righteous cause and we're going to stand for our dignity and our rights and our God-given and unalienable rights and all the things that we concur on, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, the Republic, the Bible, God, traditional family values, moral virtue. Those are the things we're rallying around and we're going to do it county by county. Every militia needs to be a county. It's based upon their county. The county name, militia. I'm in Miami-Dade County, Miami-Dade Militia, Palm Beach County Militia, Broward County Militia. Throughout the entire nation, in every state, it's a county-based militia. Because that opens up the room for even more because counties are big. So you may have, you know, these groups like the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, there's been a lot of talk that they were, George Soros operations just like the BLM, but for the right. They're controlled opposition. They're controlled groups. or they're at least highly infiltrated and manipulated. So, but nonetheless, in a county, so long as your county is based upon the militia being based upon your county, sure, you can, you know, break it down where you might have, you know, you can come up with your own names in different sections of a county and have, you know, the South Beach Boys and the Good Old Boys and the Everglades Crocodile Boys, but you're all under the Miami-Dade County Militia, and now you guys can go out and have volleyball tournaments and softball tournaments against each other and have fun and make fun of it. You know what I mean? But you're all under the same county. So there's a lot of room for leaders and leadership. Because you can do an awful lot just within one county. Imagine doing that in every county in every state. So that's the plan. That's what I'm passionate about, making sure that happens by God Almighty. God inspired me with that mission, and I'm going to see it through. It's just that simple.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just on the Righteous Army website, and I like the first part of it. It says God protects the righteous from evil. Second Amendment protects us all from a tyrannical government. A tyrannical government is a government that violates our God-given and unalienable rights of individual sovereignty, self-determination, free will, liberty, and responsible freedom. Our rights are protected by the Creator, Lord God Almighty, common law, and the Constitution for the United States of America. That's just, that's great.
That's true. And I'm not
Powerful stuff. It's awesome. It's awesome. And it's awesome for you to have us come on your podcast here tonight. I'm sorry that, you know, I bounced in here and you gave me a voice. And since you gave me a voice, I sent out a text. I was like, hey, you know, let's make sure we got another one here we can unite together with, you know. And it's so very important. Every voice we grow and we come together, and then it's like a domino effect. And it's all in the name of righteousness.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it too, Robert.
There's so much here, here in New Mexico, that really needs to be changed and fixed up. And I've got several other people. Another person in the chat room right now, isn't it? Call him Sarge. He's always in the with Vincent's show on Saturday, and he's always got some great ideas too. So there's the show.
Take me off and put him on.
Well, I'm not really sure if I can even get him on there. He has to call in. But
I think I know who you're talking about. I think I do know who you're talking about. He's a military guy, a military veteran. Actually, I think he's we're talking about the same person, a retired Illinois state police officer, I believe.
I'm not sure. I just put him on. I think this is him. Is this Sarge?
It sure is, guys. How you doing? What a pleasure to find you here, Joe. And you too, sir. It's good to hear you back on air.
Hey, Sarge.
Man, you know, I just tuned in because I just got back in from a little voyage, shall we say. And I saw the topic of your show being, you know, interesting. I just, like I said, I just tuned in. But you were talking about beliefs and what should be worn as a badge of honor and all of that.
Yep.
Well, we're talking about the militia community coming together, and we got actually Mike Singer on here right now from the Righteous Army .org, and what we're doing is, Sarge, we're seeing a really strong connecting together, grassroots networking together to form back the militia, we the people, to take back our republic. And we're doing it with the Republic and also and many other groups. And instead of us all being singled out as individuals or being, you know, having that, given the evil New World Order the opportunity to single us out, we're not going to allow that. We're going to come together in large numbers and build a righteous army across this country.
That's right, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only appropriate precaution to start taking, given the fact that the President of the United States is making veiled threats to declare war against just about half the population of the United States. I've never heard a president making speeches like this against significant members of the American people. I don't even recall Abraham Lincoln talking this way about the people of the Confederacy.
You know, and the sad part of
it, I've never heard anything like what the man is saying.
The sad part about that, Sarge, is the next day he couldn't even remember what he had said.
So he claims. There's probably some truth to it. I mean, we understand that Joe Biden is an absolutely hollow, empty vessel, a thorough corruptocrat who is filled up by whatever puppeteer is pulling his strings. Now, we got to understand that right off the bat. He has no real ideological core, no real belief system other than a desire for power, influence, and the ability to sell corrupt influence. There's nothing else to him. So does he really believe what this nonsense is put in front of him? I kind of doubt it. But the problem is the people that are animating him, they definitely believe it.
Absolutely.
Well, and the only way we're going to take back this our republic and restore it fully, lawfully, peacefully, that is by networking and coming together in large numbers, each state, each county, each city, each town, and having point men and point people that can be individual leaders themselves in their own state and community so that we can network together also on a national basis and say, hey, when this government gets out of check, we tell them, whoa, this, no, and let them know. This is what, you know, we the people are in charge. We go back to, you know, what we're supposed to be, a republic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got
encouraging signs
that that very thing is being done. I got to admit, I'm pretty heartened by what I see Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis doing. It's only baby steps, but it's an important baby step to push back against this absolutely out-of-control federal government, one that does not wish to do its sworn duty, has expressed through the laws that the people in the United States got when they elected their representatives, talking about securing the border and dealing with immigration and naturalization. The fact that two governors are willing to take up the slack that the federal government is just throwing out there to everybody is really a good thing. And you see the reaction to it, which frankly is wildly disproportionate to the offense that DeSantis and Abbott are visiting on these sanctuary states with their sanctimonious policies of welcoming immigration and we believe in diversity and inclusion and Emma Lazarus program is our highest ideological ideal and boy, oh boy, are we glad they're here and we're going to make sure that ICE shouldn't exist and there shouldn't be a real border and then all of a sudden they get a few dozen. Oh, Lord have mercy, Katie Bartendorf. But hey, what is going on? What are you putting on us? We got all this money in Martha's Vineyard. We got billions and billions of dollars worth of property. We got people living in houses that could probably house 30 or 40 people each in many cases. I know Obama's joint could harbor at least 75 to 100 people to live there easily. But no, it's just too many. It's too many. We can't deal with it now. It is so revealing. It is so instructive. And without this imaginative effort that these governors have done, a lot of people wouldn't be able to see it in such stark relief.
Well, one of the things that I heard just a little while before I started the show was that Kamala Harris has now come out and told people coming towards the border, don't come. Which to me is completely different.
But she said that before. Is she saying it again?
She's saying it again.
That's kind of wild, ain't it? Man, think about it for a minute, man. You know, I'm seeing these people saying the things they're doing and doing the things that do as I say, not as I do. I mean, truer words were never spoken than that when it comes to progressive liberals and the way they really believe. They don't want anything to have to do with this immigration tide, and it's just barely a few drops of the immigration tide that the cities and towns on the borders have had to deal with for the last two or three years.
Mm-hmm. We have to remember something. It's really nothing.
And they're all revved up and up in high dungeon about it. And you know what really is another revealing aspect of this? Yes, this fascist government, because we all know these people project onto others what they are. The first thing they did, or one of the first things one of their premier fascist governors did, Gavin Newsom, is to look into the possibility of legally prosecuting his adversaries. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to get him to get this now for human trafficking when
and kidnapping.
That's exactly what they're enabling on the border with these policies.
Yeah,
the Biden
absolutely.
Administration is the biggest enabler of human trafficking in the United States, if not the world. And they're flying illegal aliens all over the country. And now they're mad at Abbott and DeSantis for doing what they say he's doing.
Yeah. It's all puppet show.
It's amazing. It's these people are the most brazen bunch of people I've ever seen.
It's a left-right, sorry, it's a left-right paradigm puppet show. That's what it is. And we have to remember something. If the Democrats are unseated, the Republicans are just as bad. They are just as bad. And we cannot allow this New World Order agenda really take over because it was happening during George Bush's days, too, the tyranny, the tyranny,
yep.
You know, the unconstitutionalism. So we have to be careful not to play into
yeah.
their hands.
I used to call George Bush Jorge Bush because of his illegal alien friendly policies, but he was nothing like what these Democrats are now. I mean, it wasn't.
Well,
even close.
I've said over and over again that if the Republicans take back control, what we have to do as people is keep our foot on their necks so that they cannot start doing the things that they will eventually do if we let them. So the people
look at
have
what
to start.
Lindsey Graham just did. Now the Supreme Court just rendered a decision at great cost to themselves.
Yeah,
it took a lot of courage, even though I didn't think it went far enough.
I think I just lost
enough, him. But it still took
for
a lot
second,
of courage
anyway?
To do it.
I don't know.
They just rendered a court decision.
Anybody?
Yeah. Hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. We're here.
Okay.
Something
Supreme Court just
here.
Rendered a court decision saying that the federal government has no role in abortion. No role.
Let's see here.
It is a state matter left to the state. Now, they made that
explicitly
clear. See
if I can get this
clear.
To come back up again.
I'm here. We're here. We're still here. I can still hear everybody.
They have trouble to switch.
Oh, hello, Sarge. You there?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm here.
Okay. I'm not sure what happened.
I'm here.
You there?
I'm here. This is,
yeah, I think you had trouble
Beyonce.
Switching,
yeah, I'm here.
But that happens sometimes. But like I was saying,
well,
you know, we just
not
had a
really sure
court
what
decision.
Happened there. I've got right now three people on the line, and everything kind of went dead. So I'm not really sure what's going on. Maybe Blog Talk Radio got pissed off what
here.
We
were
talking
here.
About here. But
yeah, he might not be able to hear us because he might have a switchboard problem. I blanked
yeah,
out or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares.
Oh, Sarge, he cut out.
I hear. I hear Sarge. I hear Gibson.
Not.
And I hear you. How you doing, Sarge and Gibson? It's Pianki.
Is this Pianki?
Okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. I know that I need to do some advertisements here.
Are you okay right now? Don't do nothing.
Which
don't
I should have done
right.
quite a long time ago. Oh, good. I'm glad that you guys can hear me because I cannot hear you guys. So I'm not sure. Maybe Blog Talk Radio just screwed
me
up and tried to take
you
guys off. But I don't know. What I'd like to do, though. Okay, we're good. I'm glad you're still there. And you're all showing that you're online and you're all showing that the phone numbers are still connected. So, but I'm not hearing anything you guys are saying. What I wanted
me?
To do, though, I need to – my second hour started about 18 minutes ago, and I'm glad that things are still working on my end. But if you guys start to get going again and I can hear you, I went and muted all three of you and then put you back on again, and it didn't seem to help. But I was really interested in what Sarge was getting ready to say. But one of the things that we have going here in the United States right at the moment is it's just insane the people are allowing all of this. We have parents who go to school board meetings and then they're being considered – it's unmutable as we can – if you unmute us – well, you guys are not muted. I didn't mute anybody.
Okay.
I'm glad you guys
it?
Can hear each other because I have not muted anybody. You guys are all
yeah,
showing
you,
that you're live
okay.
and online.
You still can't hear us, though.
I don't
oh,
have
okay.
anybody muted at all. So Not yeah. exactly sure what the heck happened.
You still can't
here.
Hear us. You're probably
now I can hear you. I can hear you now. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, see, it's intermittent. That's maddening
yeah.
stuff when that happens. But anyway, while it's lasting, like what I was about to say was that, okay, we just got this proposal from Lindsey Graham for a 15-week restriction on abortions passed at the federal level, and the Supreme Court, at great with a great deal of integrity and a considerable cost to themselves, said this is a matter for each of the 50 states to decide for themselves. Made that clear as a bell. So what does knucklehead Graham come up and do? Rather than work on a constitutional amendment to allow for a provision for the safety of life or the protection of life, by constitutional amendment giving unborn children constitutional protections of due process and 14th Amendment protections, rather than do that, he grandstands with a stupid law, which would clearly be struck down by the courts because it violates the Hobbs decision. You know, it's really silly. And see, these guys like grandstand with this, and tactically, given what it would amount to as a matter of tactics, and again, given the Supreme Court's decision, his efforts should be directed toward a constitutional amendment to protect human life in the womb. But no, Lindsey's got a grandstand, or I don't know, maybe throw the Democrats a lifeline to get the agitated suburban moms to turn more against the Republicans. I don't know. But it really irritates me when these Republicans do stupid things like this.
Well, I don't really think too much about it when Graham does it, because he's constantly doing stuff like that. So it's just really strange. I see Pianki is there. If he's on the phone, I've got him live if he's still there, if he's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay.
I'm listening.
Go for it, boss. Go for it. How you doing, Pianki?
Doing fine. I tell you all about the bus that landed and it off-boarded in Chicago, and the immigrants got off, and by the time they got off, 50 more got on, had been there for 2 weeks. They said, they out of here. They can't stand the gunshots.
And a lot of them came from the drug wars with the Sinaloa cartel and all them others down in Mexico.
That's right.
Yep.
But no, I went to an AOC meeting the other night. I think it was Wednesday. That's the day of Friday. And it was pretty cool. They were more or less speaking on going forensic, still doing forensic. And they got some things that's going to be coming out on the 2020 election. But, you know, the one disturbing thing, and I think I told Joseph this, is that it wasn't no young people there. It got to be a way to get these young people. Parents need to bring their kids and grandkids to these meetings so they can hear what's being discussed, because apparently at one point in time in the future, they're going to be left with this to deal with, and they need to be as up-to-date and versed as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's an excellent point, getting the young people involved.
Absolutely. You know, and right now the young people are just being indoctrinated to be what they really are not, you know. And I can remember growing up, there were times when I was confused about who I am, what I was. And I'm just so thankful that I didn't grow up in this time, because if I'd have been confused today, they'd have said, oh, you can be a dog.
Well, think about it, man. I think all of us here would agree, I don't know if we will or not, but I think we will, that the most profound distinction among human beings is not even racial, because, you know, men of different races pretty much behave the same as do women of different races in their inclinations and their basic talents and strengths and weaknesses. So I think that's pretty much established worldwide as far as a man behaves and a woman behaves. But it is a more profound distinction among human beings to be either male or female. And these people are literally trying to wipe out distinction in order to
yep.
fulfill an ideological agenda. Can you imagine anything more fundamentally alien to human nature than to divide, than to deny what you are sexually?
Yep.
Correct. That's
and people
point,
are
yeah.
getting people are getting in trouble for using the male pronoun or the female pronoun when when somebody says that they feel like they're female today. I don't care what they are. If they were born a male, they're always going to be called a male by me. You know,
well, I got into a debate with a liberal talk show host last night about abortion, and they, and of course, they do what the liberals always do: start calling names and and making fun of me, and then hang up and run away. And of course, I'm a racist. You know, so you know, I don't know what abortion has to do with racism. When I say I don't support abortion, I don't know how that makes me a racist, but I was a racist at the end of the conversation. Hmm. So you know. And that's what they do.
Well, maybe because 39% of them are performed on black women,
hope
maybe.
You guys can still
it
hear
might
them
be a little
bit
racist, maybe. What do you think?
Well, I'm against abortion, though. I don't support abortion. So I guess
I'm
just
saying, and 39% of them are done on black women. I think there's your racist element to abortion right there.
Exactly.
Hell, Joseph, welcome to the club. They call me racist, too, sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, they call me a coon more likely than anything else. I don't care. I don't care about these people at all. I just want to oppose them. I don't care about what they call me. Because we are just at odds with each other. I think our belief system, I'm talking about for the more fanatic among them, is just fundamentally irreconcilable. Hmm. And I've just gone ahead and reconciled to that.
Good point. That's a good point, Sarge. Yep.
But I can tell you something that works. When they call you a racist, Joseph, just turn around and call them a racist back. And they stand there dumbfounded.
Okay. Well, again, he's gone again. So I think the Blog Talk Radio is playing a joke on all of us, trying to make everybody think that the show isn't working or it's
going
away. Can
you hear me? I don't think you hear me again.
I wish they'd
stop
this. I
think
they
might be
getting
trolled.
One of my best shows that I've ever had. And I've been doing them since 2007. I really enjoy this. I got another one. Hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was driving by, took a look at your marquee.
Well,
and you're talking about what do we do now? So that's one of my favorite topics. Then I hear this guy named Sarge, and I hear this guy named Joe Gibson. So I figured, what the hell? I'd join in anyway. My name's Joe.
And a guy named Joe. Hey, what more could be more appropriate?
Yeah. So Sergeant Joe know me. That's why I'm kidding around. So, yeah, I'm here, and I just got here, and I'm glad to join the conversation with the likes of Sergeant Joe.
Okay, well,
so,
I've got right now five people.
Let me tell you something. Laurie
said on the phone, and I'm not hearing a single thing, so I'm not sure if this is doing the same thing as it was before. But if you guys are all talking and still going, I'll keep my mouth shut, and you guys can keep going on it.
You can hear me, can't you, conservative?
I can hear everybody. I can hear everybody. Sarge, can you hear me?
Well, look, it's not unusual for Blog Talk Radio to muck up somebody's show sometime, somehow, somewhere. So that seems to be the modus operandi now. So don't be surprised there about what's going on.
Oh, how could you be surprised? We've got Mark Zuckerberg's testimony, don't we? I mean, the FBI is literally asking a private business to act as proxies for governmental censorship. If that ain't fascism, what the hell is?
Well, Sarge, as you know, since you're a history buff, especially specializing in the war, that you know that fascism has been the mainstay of America for the last few decades, ever since, well before 1913, the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
So that was their plan. So fascism is nothing new. Yeah, but the solutions, that's what I'm always interested in. Oh, and by the way, Joe, I had a conversation about you the other day, and I'd like to have another conversation with you off the air. So, whenever I'll go to your show next Tuesday, and I'll talk to you about it. I was looking for your show,
If not, you got a pen, I'll give you my phone number now, and you could call me whenever you get time. How's that sound?
No, I don't do that.
Well,
that's all right.
Talk radio, I think, is sabotaging my show.
Yeah, well, don't be surprised, like I say.
Go ahead, Joe.
Don't let me interrupt. You know, if you guys are on the road to solutions, please let me know, because I have my own theories, but I have to admit they're just theories, and without elbow grease to put those theories into operation, they're nothing more than just theories. So if you guys have something else, I am willing to listen.
Well, we've gotten the militia community on board now, and we have to put our differences aside, some of them, even though there's a lot of valid questions, and everybody's concerned, and they care about our country. But we need the militia community, and I believe that nationally networking together and building a front that has strength in numbers can finally get something done. And I see a lot of people networking and coming together now. That's why I believe the RighteousArmy.org public.
There has to be a counterweight to the power of the federal government. The federal government looks like it's increasingly militarizing itself to move against its own citizenry. And I think the only real counterbalance to that kind of force is the power of federalism and the power of the states to resist it should it come to that. And until that is developed, can be easily isolated and defeated by the federal government. There has to be a united front of states prepared to resist by whatever means necessary the tyrannical depredations of the federal government.
Correct. That is correct. Good point, Sarge.
And that means we're going to put people in at the state level who are resolute and understand what it takes to really overcome real tyranny, because we are seeing definite signs of incipient tyranny now. This Biden administration is acting like a college campus East Stasi police state.
Sarge, they arrested a woman on an anonymous tip that she was there during January 6th. They arrested the FBI. The FBI arrested a woman on an anonymous tip. Come on, man.
Yes. I mean, I'm seeing things. I haven't heard about stuff like this since the Palmer raids in 1919, and that didn't last that long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not 1918, 1919.
Another guy got 5 years today. Another guy got 5 years in federal prison for obstruction, January 6th. 5 years
prison. Yeah. Yeah, and then we just found out about Igor Danchenko. Did you hear about him?
No.
Igor Danchenko was a figure that was on trial for lying to the FBI. And the FBI hired him after they had fired the guy. He was one of the guys who provided the information for a dirty dossier, which was proven to be false. He was leaking information to the news media. The FBI found about it. They fired him. Then they hired him back to get more dirt. And now he's on trial right now, and all this is coming out from the trial. The FBI literally is acting like a police state apparatus, the Praetorian Guard for the Democratic National Committee.
Well, you know, the problem with this whole thing is that insurrection that they keep calling about being January 6th, the insurrection was not an insurrection. I don't see how anybody can say it was. If you look at the videos of what happened, that was not an insurrection.
No, it was.
It was a riot. A riot. They are inflaming it into an insurrection so they can justify these measures they're taking, like taking the cell phones of people simply because they posited a constitutional theory, which is fairly well regarded in many constitutional circles, that it is possible to present a slate of alternate electors that is approved by a state court to the Electoral College. Now, that is nothing subversive. That is nothing anti-constitutional. It may not fly, but it certainly isn't criminal to think you can do it. They did it with the alternate slate of electors in Hawaii in the Nixon-Kennedy election. An alternate slate of electors was the one that was finally submitted to the Electoral College against the original one that was submitted.
when we don't allow videos in our courtrooms, videotaping in our courtroom, when we start arresting people for videotaping police officers, we are sliding down a rabbit hole that we can't get back out of. And that was beginning to happen for a lot of years now, and we've done nothing about it. We've allowed it to happen.
Well, let me ask you a question,
you're
Joe.
You're an American citizen. You are allowed to record anything you see in a public space, period.
Let me ask you a question, Gibson. At what point in time did the military step into this?
Well, I'm not sure. When do you think the people are ready for the military? Do we really need the military? Don't we have enough people, good people out there that can handle it, that can secure our towns and cities until we re-implement our republic and restore our republic? Or do we have to go through that big of a phase or problem? I know abolishing the Federal Reserve is going to be a big deal. It's going to be very difficult to restore this economy. Because, you know, I mean, the tentacles of the Federal Reserve are evil through and through, and they have their hands in everything. And how are we going to reinstitute a bond market or gold or silver-backed currency when all the gold and silver has been robbed and hijacked out of this country already? You know?
Yep.
So.
Well, I'd like to answer Pianki's question, I'd like to submit this for Brother Pianki's consideration. We do realize now we're on the verge of firing from the United States Armed Forces, that's reserve and active duty, 100,000 members of that force because they don't want to get the clot shot. Let me say that again. 100,000 members of the active duty and reserve are on the verge of being discharged from the armed forces because they don't want to get the clot shot. Do you think there might be a significant number of those people who are disgruntled and might be willing to join state forces against such a government?
I thought the federal judge reversed that mandate, Sarge. I thought that was the big thing a few months
ago. I haven't seen it yet. When did you hear that?
Well, I heard it after I interviewed that Lieutenant Colonel on my podcast show.
I don't have yet. Not on, maybe for individual cases, but not the blanket plan to discharge all these people.
Well, I'm going to get into that right now. I'm going to start looking
into
that.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
I'm going to start looking into that. That's huge.
Mm.
That was big.
Yeah.
Look, boys, none of this is a surprise, all right? And it shouldn't be a surprise. We know that this was coming. We've heard about, and if we don't have relatives from 1939 Germany or from Armenia or from Venezuela, we knew this was coming. But, of course, we don't want to believe that it's here because this is America and that it can't happen here. Guess what? It can happen here. It's been happening here. It's going to continue to happen here. And for us to talk about what we need to do, like politicians always do, without talking about the elbow grease that has to go into it, to me is an exercise in futility. We know what we have to do. But to answer your question, Joe, do we have enough people? No. And Sarge, for the states to get together, that's one thing. That's great, except that they're all bought off by the people in Congress, by lobbyists, and you know it. So everybody here is thinking positively. You know, I'm a cynic. I believe that the road to damnation is here, and in 2 years we will not have America. 3 years most, we will not have America. We will have Mad Max. We have as Sarge likes to refer to the goat in office, the goat, the demented goat, has signed what? 50 executive orders. He's off, and he's thinking he's signing either checks or menus or autographed books. He doesn't know what he's doing and what's happening. Inflation's going out of control. The nitrogen necessary for the fertilizers, we're not going to have anymore. The computer chips controlled by China, 95% of controlled by China. We, unfortunately, we may have to resort to violence as a defensive measure. But still, violence is violence. I'd like to prevent it, and that's what I'd like to find out about. For me, we have some honest judges. Lawsuits have prevailed in certain situations. We need more of them, but I think we're going down not just a slippery slope. We're on an avalanche cruise to nowhere. What do you guys think about that?
Well, here's the thing, taking what you just said into account, if the scenario that you posit of Mad Max actually occurs, then violence is inevitable. It will occur. The only thing is, will it be anarchic violence or will it be directed and focused violence? That's the only thing. if the rule of law does not exist, we can see what is on the verge of happening in all these crazy blue cities where they have completely, almost completely rather, destroyed the rule of law. Violence will occur. It's the only question is what manner of violence will it be?
That's the last resort. The first resort is petition. The second resort is protest. And the third resort is what you just got through saying.
That's what I'm saying. So there will be violence. Like if your scenario comes to pass, Joe, violence will ensue. We're already seeing it happen. It's not.
Absolutely.
It's mainly concentrated in these blue cities run by these lunatic, demented, incompetent, crazy Democrat mayors and district attorneys and others who hobble
and
their police
doing it.
Neuter them and everything else. But it can spread if it keeps up.
It is spreading. And it's being done on purpose. When you take a law and you say, look, $100 was the bar in order to have a felony, in order to prosecute, and now it's $950, you can see videos of people riding in the stores on their bikes, parking there, and I'm talking about regular pedal bikes, parking their bikes. They're in the store, loading up their knapsacks or their pillowcases and riding out. Or walking out. It was done on purpose by the Democrats, supported by the Republicans. We do not have friends in Congress. We have people who are engaging in political theater. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know of any way quicker for people to demand action from their government than to have a state of chaos and lawlessness. After all, that's what the communists did in Germany after World War One. That led to the rise of the Freikorps, which put them in check after they got into brawls with them in the street. Then it happened again when the Red Front and National Socialists were fighting out in the streets, and the people in Germany decided to turn to the one they thought was strongest and could most restore order. Do you think people anywhere are really any different? People want civil order. That is one of the prime functions of government. Any government is to maintain civil order. A civil society is one of their... if not the most primary in the United States, we think that is as important almost as regard for individual liberties and rights. The two kind of go hand in hand. But in our country, that takes the establishment of the rule and law so the federal government can then protect your individual liberties and your rights. So in the United States, they both go hand in hand. And I don't know anything more likely to get the population riled like that 1968, which led to the election of Richard Nixon, then they have a completely lawless perception of complete lawlessness generally in the society.
And that's
why that's coming.
Not to play into racism and the racism and the tribalism, and we start playing into that. And then that could be a dangerous game for America right there.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, these governments in a lot of these blue states and blue cities, these governments have literally forfeited their right to govern. Their primary duty they have to govern, they have completely negated, destroyed, neglected, and even promoted the lawlessness. They don't have a right to govern as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Of course not. But the rights and the responsibilities of the government that you're talking about, that was never any of the reasons for what government was established for. For the people, yes. But for the people who got into government, no. It was all about power.
Yes.
Yes.
Right now we're witnessing. Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And look, you take a look at Australia, France, Portugal, Spain, any of the countries, Germany, England, they're being ruined. They're being ruined from within. And they're being invaded by those people who get into their countries, just like they're being invaded. We're being invaded now, and they're taking over. And it's part of the plan. So,
We need to have some solutions. What's solution? Solution.
Absolutely.
Again, I think the solution is, and like I said, we're not going to work our way out of this anytime really soon. What we got to do right now is stop the tide of cultural and civilizational destruction that these progressives and Marxists are doing. That's one step. We got to just slow it down and or stop it. Then we got to start building the mechanisms that are going to make it do. And it's going to take a little while because we didn't get in this situation overnight.
Yeah, no, but you're going to have a backbone of a militia community, a righteous army backbone, a citizenry that's going to be able to stand up to corruption and evil to put it and keep order in check.
That's right. And like we talked about the other night, Joe, that the militia's got to include all militia. Because if you just have whites, then these states will say you got a bunch of crazy whites running around in the woods that's going to be attacking blacks. No. You
got to be everybody
involved
in this. Every able-bodied person capable of bearing arms. That's who it's got to be.
Yep.
Of course it does. But the thing is, we have to convince people. How do we do it? Well, we have to stand up. Well, we have to, in order to do that, we have to stand up against the propaganda machine that's been around, infiltrating our children and our kids who have gone to college, who think that, hey, I don't know of anything about American history after 1619. Oh, I'm sorry, before 1619. And they, you know, and propagandize into believing that whatever the government does is just absolutely fine. The turning point to me was when I heard about fathers who had daughters who worked on the front line, who were nurses, and they told their dads, pops, do not take the vaccine. The fathers went against their particular wishes, took the vaccine, got sick, and went back for a second shot. Now tell me, how do we defeat that?
Well, that
already censor us when we try to tell people not just our opinion on things, what the basic facts are with regard to discovering the contraindication between getting repeated vaccine shots and the incidence of myocarditis and heart problems and circulatory problems in young, healthy people, even athletes, some of them literally dropping dead. The correlation is impossible to escape. And I don't know what you can do other than to show people the incidence of it and hope they draw the right conclusion.
Yeah,
well, One
of the things that's been going on, though, is like a lot of us who are trying to put out the right stuff are getting banned and knocked off of things. And so, you know, getting together with everybody would be a good way to do it, because that way we would get rid of all these Silicon Valley people who think that they know more than anybody else, or the Bidens or the Harrisons who think they know more than everybody else, and that we cannot get along without them. Well, we have to prove to them that we can, and we will.
Well, Sarge, I was on your friend Earlene's show, and they were having a discussion. I came in, had an opportunity to speak to them. I told them what I think that they should do is learn how to take gun safety courses and how to shoot.
Yep.
And have clubs.
Wait a minute.
Like
she let you speak?
Yes, she let me speak.
I'm a surprise, man, because you were like persona non grata for her.
Where was this
well,
at?
That's good. Maybe I'll call back, and I ain't called back in since she wasn't talking about me on the phone. Call me a coward.
No. Oh, you're talking about that Earlene chick?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, she called me. She got really mad at me because I agreed with Bianchi about something. I didn't say anything bad about her. I just said I agreed with one of Bianchi's.
I know. She put up
I mean,
an hour
show.
She got
show, really put it... upset with me for that.
Oh, I know. You, Bianchi, and me, all in one
show.
She
made it clear she didn't want to have nothing more to do with me. I said, fine, I'll never call her back. I haven't called her back since that day.
Yeah, like I said, it was a one-hour show, a two-hour show, based upon her particular hatred towards you, Bianchi, and me, all three of us in the same show.
Yeah, all we did was just agree with some of Bianchi's positions. Jesus Christ. I didn't mean I had anything to say about her character. I guess she's just hypersensitive. I don't know what to say. But anyway, but you did tell it, Bianchi, that she and others like who believe like she does, they need to be prepared to take up on. What did they say to that?
She agreed to it, but you know the one came back with them, they both that I was talking to live in New York.
Well, that's a strike against them right there.
Yeah. They got to get rid of that goblin governor of theirs, Kathy Hochul. I call it
and
a goblin governor. She looks like a light-skinned version of the Green Goblin every time I look at her.
Oh, Jesus.
You know,
now I'm
going to
see that every time
book,
I see her.
God,
yeah,
man,
from
she
the Marvel
looks like
comics.
Green
yeah.
Goblin without the costume.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to see that every time I see her.
Yeah. Well, in any case, guys, I'm going to go. So I bid you all adieu, and hopefully can get together again another time. So good night,
oh,
guys.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, good talk,
Tuesday
DJ.
Tuesday night, 6:30. Everybody's welcome to come
Good night, Joe. Laurie, say goodbye.
Look, we got to remember one thing, too, fellas. I keep stressing this, too. Not everybody's going to want to get involved in a fight because not everybody ever does in any fight, anywhere, anytime. Okay. Everybody doesn't get involved. And we can't think that we're going to be able to convince most people to take any sort of an active role in any counter move against the federal government's depredations. But we just have to count on a solid core that is widespread. That's the key. Widespread throughout many states. So they can't isolate it so easily.
Yep.
Good point.
That's
good point, Sarge.
Well, thanks for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a blast. I enjoyed this.
please, you're invited also over to mine 6:30 Tuesday night, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, Restoring Our Republic. And that's where we talk to the Republic and others from across the country and world and try to come up with solutions like we're talking about here tonight. This is important.
Okay,
when are you
going to
be back on again?
So, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Okay, and what's the name of the show?
Restoring Our Republic. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson.
Okay. I got that. I'm going to.
All right, yeah, come on over. I'd love to hear your voice over there.
Okay, good hearing from you, Joe. But again, I think a big part of the problem is we can't even count on most of the states to come on board. Remember, there's about 23 blue states, and we're not going to probably not get any of them.
No, New Mexico is one of them.
Yeah, New Mexico, there you go, is one of them. But, you know, I think Texas is reasonably reliable, Florida, reasonably reliable, Utah, reasonably reliable. I wouldn't put any of them in absolutely reliable category, but I think some of them are reasonably reliable if they recognize encroaching tyranny by the federal government that cannot be mitigated by any other means, and then I think they would be prepared to put up a strong united front to warn the federal government that, hey, you've gone too far, and we're not going to obey these edicts that are unconstitutional and are either bordering on or actually embodying tyranny.
Yep.
And that's why we got a federalist system. Federal government wasn't supposed to be all-powerful entity that runs everything. It was supposed to have a few enumerated, defined powers and anything else that was created by amendment, and it was supposed to be restricted to that. And we can see now that there is almost no limit to what the federal government is prepared to assume power over. There's almost no limit anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely the truth, and nobody seems to have the backbone to do anything about it when they
They think they have the power to, quote, forgive, unquote, student loans for the entire population that gets them, federally anyway, what the hell don't they have power to do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the student loan, shoot, that's something, you know, they took out the loan. They should pay it. I don't want to pay their loan.
Every single problem that people see these days, one of the first things that comes to their mind is, what is the federal solution for it? When we have 50 individual laboratories that can all pursue their own means to solving a problem, provided the Constitution doesn't forbid them to act in it, they're all free to pursue their own solutions, and everybody in all the other states can look and see what works and what doesn't. And you got 50 laboratories going their own way, and people able to see what works best rather than one size fits all that usually don't work with a damn anyway.
That's for sure. But
we've completely gotten aware people actually believe the federal government is over the states. You ask a lot of people, well, the federal government is supreme, so whatever the federal government says, states got to listen to. A lot of people actually believe that.
They believe
that our constitutional scheme places the federal government in a superior position, kind of like a general and a private. The states are like privates, and the general is like a general and give them orders and everything.
And
they
it's really the other way around.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But you talk to a lot of people today, and you never know it.
No, you never know it.
And then, by the way, I don't blame them for believing it. given the way many people act. I mean, the federal government holds the specter of withholding federal funds, and a lot of these governors just start quaking in their boots.
Yep, that's for sure. And then we've got ones like my governor who just is evil to the core. She just there's just absolutely no good in that woman.
Man, you got a real demon rat when you're in your state.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I call her the Wicked Witch of the North, and the pastor of my church, and the pastor of my church calls her that too.
She is really bad, you know. And these people, I just cannot get. Like I said, everything the other side does is an exercise in projection. They talk about how concerned they are for children, and nothing is a bigger sacrament to them than killing babies that haven't been born yet. Nothing. That is the thing. That is the hill they are prepared to die on every time.
Yep, and that's one of the things that just really just boils my blood every time I hear one of them, like Pelosi, will say, it's for the children. No, you're destroying the children is what they're doing.
I mean, they're fanatically devoted to that principle. Fanatically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the way they – now they've gone beyond saying, well, abortion needs to be safe and rare, to now celebrating it as the paragon of the achievements in human liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Killing your baby in the womb is one of the heights of the realization of the parameters of human freedom and liberty. Killing your baby. They are openly proclaimed. Tisha James, who's the Attorney General of New York, got before a crowd of people and boasted how proud she was for having gotten an abortion. Not that it was a regretful or tragic and I felt compelled not to do anything else. She talked about how proud she was.
Yeah, and that's sad.
And she's not the only one.
Nope. Our governor, when she passed the law that you can have abortions in this state all the way up until the birth day, she was giddy about it. She was so happy that she was able to do this. And I every time I see a picture of her, I see these horns sticking out of her head, and she's a devil. She's as evil as can be.
You know, it's like we're saying, man. You know, they call people like us extreme because in my mind, I would forbid all abortions except therapeutic abortions necessary for the life or health of the mother. I wouldn't even put a rape or incest exception because I don't consider a human being conceived in rape or incest to be less worthy of life than one conceived in love. I just don't. That's just me. I'm speaking for myself and no one else.
Well, I think Indiana just passed
extreme.
A law like that.
Well, they call us extreme for that, but they're all for abortion almost up to the moment of passage through the birth canal, and even sometimes immediately after.
Yeah.
And
well,
them two senators
that Georgia elected, it's on their handout material that they up there for abortion through the ninth month.
Ossoff and Warnock, yeah.
Yeah.
And those two need to be taken out so badly.
But,
yeah.
I think Indiana just passed a law that banned abortion in almost every instance.
I don't think any state banned abortion for therapeutic abortions. Now, on that one, I would absolutely believe that should be the exception. I don't think a mother should be required to give her life to give birth. So, you know, if it's a serious threat to even her health or definitely her life, then definitely a therapeutic abortion is called for. And reluctantly, granted. But good God, man, elective abortions? Because your boyfriend left you? Because you want to go to college? You know, because any number of, I mean, come on, please.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I think that
in some of the cases, if a woman want to give her life so that child is born, that's up to her. But I understand what you're talking about. But you know, the thing that pisses me off.
I admire women who do that. There are women who actually do sacrifice their lives to give birth. They're having cancer, and rather than undergo chemotherapy and possibly harm the baby, they elect not to have it, and they give their lives for their children. Now, I wouldn't force a woman to do that by any means. But a woman who do that has nothing but my admiration and respect. They ought to get the childbearing equivalent of the Medal of Honor for doing things like that.
Yeah, and if you look at Javarkin, and you got people that want to die to get out of the pain, misery, and so on, and the hardship, hey, they locking him up for assisted suicide.
Yep.
I mean, it's just the same as killing these babies. What's up?
Well, I mean, how do you explain fetal homicide? Doing exactly the same thing that an abortionist does if it's requested by the mother. But yet we have fetal homicide laws in mostly every state. So if the baby is wanted, then the baby is protected. If the baby is unwanted, the baby is a goner. I mean, I cannot reconcile that. I just can't.
Yeah, that just drives me nuts.
I just can't do it. I cannot assume that I don't have the ability to think that way.
I think we all think that, feel that same way.
A lot of actually think there's a distinction. If a mother wants a baby, then that baby is more worthy of protection than one who's unwanted, and the abortion just butchers it.
Yep.
I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't, and I won't.
Yep.
I don't care what they say about it, about me. I care less. I just can't.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
There's a lot of women,
by
the way, who agree with me. It's not like I'm a man saying, I got nothing to say. If you don't have a womb, you got nothing to say. No, there's a lot of women who agree with me, too, you know.
Yeah, and if they would just learn some restraint when they go to have this, the sex that made them pregnant, maybe they'd decide, well, maybe we better not do this.
Well, I understand. Well, of course, that is the ideal. But look, anything can go wrong. Even a married couple, if they're electing to practice contraception, contraception is not 100% infallible. Neither are condoms. They have
never had a failure rate.
So the question is not whether or not anyone. Well, yes, it goes without saying someone should have the discretion to be reticent and to be even celibate where necessary. There's no doubt about that. That goes without saying. But I think what we have to really concentrate on is what do we do when it happens?
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Everybody knows the birds and the bees. They know what can happen if they engage in sexual activity. But look, I've been there, caught up in the heat of the moment. I ain't worried about the consequences, you know what I mean? But we have to tell everybody there are consequences. And one of those consequences is that baby should have the right to their life because we all started that way.
Yep, every one of us.
Every one of these people talking about abortion started out as a fetus.
Yeah, and we were alive that whole time.
Yeah. I know my physical being had a continuum, and it started from the moment my father's 23 chromosomes mixed with my mother's 23 chromosomes. Not until then. When that occurred, at the second that occurred, that was the beginning of my life.
Yep.
And every other human being's life.
Yeah, and you have all these people who say life doesn't begin. I had a woman tell me the other day that life doesn't begin until you come out of the womb, out of the body of the mother. Are you insane?
So then, why do we have fetal homicide laws then?
Exactly.
Anybody really believe that? Why do we have fetal homicide laws? Well, you can see the charges against the person for shooting mama. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Mama's out of the womb. But the baby's still in the womb. The bullet kills the baby and wounds the mother, kills the baby. And is she saying then that child's not worthy of protection of the law? Of course the child was, just like any child in the womb should be. Life does not begin when you emerge from the birth canal.
That's absolutely the truth. It began a lot earlier than that.
I don't know any issue that's more binary than this one. That's that is why whenever you have these discussions about abortion, they always 99% of it, discussion, is devoted to what the trauma is for the mother. They have to avoid what it portends for the child. Because it all, look, this is the bottom line. Every successful abortion ends a human life. They can't get away from it. That's why they don't want to remind them of it. Yeah. You got to just tell them, if you have this argument, every successful abortion ends a human life. I've got 7 AR-15s in different calibers, and not one of them has killed a human being, and I've had them for about 15 years now. Not one of them. They've been in my gun safe. I've taken them out and shoot wild hogs and boars because they're invasive pests, and they're trying to get rid of them here in Georgia, and I shoot them with that. But not one of them has taken a human life. Every abortion takes a human life. Every successful one.
And no matter, you can put your gun out on the table, fully loaded, and it'll never shoot anybody unless you pick it up or somebody picks it up.
Decades would rust away to nothing. Maybe a 1,000 years from now.
I mean, absolutely.
And it makes a silly, specious arguments about things, trying to analogize things, and they just fall down under scrutiny almost immediately. This is an issue like no other. It involves who has the right to live and why. It is a fundamental thing. We give due process to convicted murderers. They all get due process. They're supposed to get due process. That's what our Constitution demands. Murderers, about whom there is no doubt that they murdered, but because of a technical flaw in their prosecution and or conviction, they are frequently discharged and let off, found to be the case against them dismissed. And they're convicted murderers. We can't kill them. How can you be more innocent than a baby in the womb?
Oh, you can't be, actually.
It's impossible. I don't know any other way to be more innocent than a baby in the womb.
Yeah, it's sad. One of the things that is going on right now is that I'm at the end of my show. I am really glad that you guys called tonight. It made such a wonderful show. It was one of the greatest shows I've had in a long, long time. I'm glad Sarge called. I'm glad that Bianchi called, came in. The other ones, I had Mike Singer and Joseph Gibson was here. And there was one other guy that was in there but never talked. So I'm not really sure what happened with that.
Well, they should call in more often because you, sir, are a host who understands what's at stake, and we need more people who understand what's at stake to help elucidate the problems to others who may be on the fence. You're working still? Your mic still working?
All right, I'm going to pull out of here. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, Bianchi, good talking to you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Absolutely.